your name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. So we are in our series on generations, and I was kind of tasked to look at the prophetic words and what's going on from a prophetic point of view. So I didn't feel as though I could just launch into that, because lots of people, they may not know, different people at different places on the journey, and you might be thinking, what's prophecy? I remember saying something to one of the girls at work who's a Christian, and she said, what did you say? And I said, the prophetic team. And she said, did you say the pathetic team? And I said, no, I didn't say pathetic team. So, yeah, so that's why I'm going to be starting from a little way back. But before I start, I'm just going to ask the Review Joy Master to come forward. She's got a little something that God's put on her heart.
How do you deal with change? Change in taking the breaking of bread? Change in the things that are going on in the world? Are you good at it? Does it worry you? This week, what a week we find about Jamaica. Things going on in this country. What does God think about all of this? Let alone do anything, what does he think? Something that's been on my heart over the last few weeks, heightened, is, you know how we focus on different things in our lives? So for example, if you have a new telly or something like that, you look at the manual just to see how to work it, or some kind of new machine or car. You get in your car and you're going into a new situation, like this morning driving here, and we had to go a completely different way. Mr. Sat or Mrs. Sat Navani has told us what to do. And we listened. What God's saying to me is, as a church, that we need to start listening to him. Some of us are very good at this, aren't I, Andre? You're very good at that. How good are you at listening? So he said to me this week, Joy, you need to reduce the noise. I need to start listening to what God's saying to me. And because we are coming in to major, major change, the change is incredible. How are you going to deal with them? Well, I do. Because hopefully together we'll start listening to God. And so I said to God, well, if we just say that, yeah, but what does that actually mean? I sensed he said that he's already been talking to you about it. And certainly one person this morning, in what they expressed this morning, Alison, had already been saying about praying to God and hearing what he might say, and might it be different, and what will I do? He's already starting to speak, but I think he's going to speak to more of you about listening. And as we come together, we'll start to get the same words and the theme. So I want to encourage you to come and join together, not necessarily to do a lot of that. Some of us don't know what to say in prayer, but I'm sure you can sit and listen or read the word. So I want you to come together with us November the 12th, 7:30 at the Ark, our new building, and the Black Country and us and Warsaw will be getting together to listen. Then, the following Monday, the 17th, 7:30, Ark again, J10, Warsaw, listening to God. Will you be there? I'm asking that he'll speak to each one of them. And we won't be thinking, oh, it'll be so-and-so, so-and-so. We'll all be there, because you know what? If God doesn't tell us what to do, we're in a mess. I want to hear from him. Do you? Put those dates in your diary, and I'm sure Rachel will send them out.
I didn't realise I was going to get a job as well. No, it's fine. I just wanted to, I'm scribbling in my bag, because I wanted to remind you that even though I put stuff up on here, everything that we do is founded on the Word of God. Okay? And so I'm in it's going to feel a little bit heavy in the sense of I'm going to be putting loads of stuff up on the PowerPoint. And that's purely because I want to draw your attention to what it says in the Word of God. And then I'm going to show you some of the prophetic words that we've had, okay? So that's why I wanted to start, first of all, being clear about prophecy. That prophecy is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 14, we read how important it is, how important prophecy is. It says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless somebody interprets, so that the church may be built up. So it's important to build up the church. Who are the church? We are the church. So the people are the church. And Paul writes in Corinthians that we should eagerly seek the gift of prophecy. So prophecy, what is it? Young people, you might be thinking, what is prophecy? It's sensing what God is saying for a community, a church, a person in that moment. And even those delivering a prophetic word that should be understanding, they only have a part. So we only have prophecy is only a part of the picture. At Junction 10, we've got a long history of prophetic words, and we have intentionally written these down, and we keep them as records. And we haven't managed to keep all of them, but we have a good core to help us notice what God is saying and how he is leading. Now, I would like to add at that point, that doesn't mean to say that the prophetic words that people share are more important than the Word of God. The Word of God is the living, breathing Word that he has given us, okay? But the prophetic words can give us indications and signs. So you might be wondering, there are risks with prophecy. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. We've got to remember that not everybody comes from the right motive, from God's side, okay? And they might come across like they're really brilliant, but we need to test it. So we don't disengage at all. So with prophetic words, we're meant to keep our brain engaged. God created us body, mind and soul. And we never, if you're ever in a position where somebody's asking you to empty your mind, that is a dangerous thing to do. Because God created us in his image, and we're meant to keep our mind, okay? You can still it, you can calm it, but you're not meant to disengage it completely. Does that make sense? So if somebody's telling you to empty your mind completely, you should have a little warning sign that goes up, this isn't healthy, okay? Because God is watching over us, okay? And he wants you to us all to be safe. So, when we look at this with the body and mind, we also need to remember that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He never forces. And did you know that you can offend the Holy Spirit? I'm pausing because sometimes we assume that whatever we do, that God's happy about it and he'll stay with us at all times. But he's a gentleman, and there are times where, I don't know whether you've ever, I've been in places where, you know, some, the conversation starts to change and the activities start to change. I'm probably, if I'm truthful, I'm thinking about stuff at work, where it kind of starts to go down a different route. And I'm thinking, I am happy about this. And if I can change it, I will. But if I can't, it's time to make a cup of tea. And I walk away. Because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. That means that wherever we go, he goes. So that means that we need to think about where we're taking Jesus. And I'm just gently saying, you know, sometimes there might be things that you're doing, that you're watching, that you're saying. Would you really be happy if Jesus was there? Because I know for me, I do some stuff and I think, that wasn't particularly right. And I have times where I say, I'm really sorry, Lord. So, with prophecy, well done, because I am going a bit off tack on my notes. So holy means set apart, and he's encouraging us to be careful and to keep Jesus close. And with prophecy, we're meant to test that something is of God. For example, if you're involved in an activity, in that activity that I've said about emptying your mind, it's not good. So I'm going to move on to the scripture, which is prophecy, which is 1 Peter 1, chapter 21. And it says, for prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we're assuming that something that's prophetic is of God. Then we go to Thessalonians 5, verse 21 to 22, and it says, but test all of them. No matter who it's coming from, test it. Even if it's from somebody that you think, oh, they're definitely upstanding, you're meant to test it. So Thessalonians says, test it, hold on to what's good, and reject what's evil. Okay? So there'll be some stuff that is great, and there's some stuff you've just got to sift that out. Because sometimes we're human, and sometimes we might have added something in that we think's right, but it, you know, I always pray that God will just sift those bits out. Then it goes on to 1 Corinthians 13 and chapter 2, verse 2, and it says, remind us that we should look for Holy Spirit fruit and evidence, which is love, because it says, if I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. I've been in places where people have, oh, that's so-and-so, oh, we gave such a powerful prophetic word, it was scary. But I remember being in that place, and it wasn't loving. Does that make sense? They came across really powerful, and everybody thought, oh, they've really got the power of God on them. But for that person receiving that word in front of all of those people, it wasn't kind, and it wasn't loving, and it could have been done in private. Does that make sense? And this is the kind of thing that you have to think. Because obviously we want to see the power of God, don't we? But we don't want people shamed, because that's not love. Do you see that? So then it goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 14, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So how do you feel when there's been a prophetic word? Sometimes it can be a warning, but you should feel like built up. You shouldn't come away feeling wretched and full of guilt, because God, who is the King of Kings and the Most Holy, encourages us to come close. So if he does that, who are we to be making somebody to feel guilty or wretched? That's not of God. Do you see what I mean when we're talking about testing and working things out? So in Junction 10, we've got prophetic words that have been shared, and when we each should consider those people that are sharing prophetic words, we have to think, I'm always thinking, is this going to build people up? And the prophetic words can be a word of warning, but we have to wait. For those that deliver them, we have to consider, is this word for me? Because often we can assume, oh, this is for everybody. And there have been times where I've thought, no, no. And I've realised that in actual fact, the word is for me. So you have to keep your mouth shut, your gob shut. And in actual fact, you need to take the medicine yourself and kind of, okay, that's for me. Does that make sense? And then the other thing that I'm normally considering is it for now? Is it for now or is it for another time? That's the other thing that we have to think about. I know that I've had things that God's given me, and I know other people where God's given them things, but it wasn't for that moment. So you hold on to it, you write it down, you hold on to it, and then because I've got a memory like a sieve, I can't remember, then the Holy Spirit reminds me. So 1 Corinthians 13 verse 9 and 12 goes on to say, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. That indicates that we need to remember that it's not in full. It's like part of a picture. So if you press the thing, next click. So I wonder what you see in this picture. I did look for lots of different pictures, but I had a bit of a game with it actually. So can you see the shepherd? Can you see the lambs and the houses in the background? Can anybody see a face of a, I'm assuming it's a gentleman with the coat of the shepherd is actually the moustache. Can you see that? Those of you that didn't see it suddenly go, oh yeah, I can see that. Now you've pointed it out. And the tree is the nose. So sometimes that's the whole thing with prophetic words, is that because we are each of us made in God's image, and God has deposited something of himself in each of you, you will see things from a slightly different angle. And that is exquisite. Because it doesn't mean that you've got it wrong, or I've got it wrong, or she's got it wrong, or he's got it wrong. It means that God's given you a view that comes from him. And that's why we have to come together, and when we come together and we share, well, I saw that, did you? I never saw that, I saw this, which is why we have to share that discussion and the dialogue, because it broadens our view of what God is trying to say to us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so from that, we said that we get it, a prophetic word is part of a puzzle. So we can't assume that we've got the whole thing if we've delivered a prophetic word. We need to recognise that it's just a part of it. And our job is not to pontificate about who's delivered the word. Essentially, I don't mean to be rude, but it's irrelevant who delivered the word. It's about, is God in it? Does that make sense? There's something in your belly. There's something that makes you think that's from God. It don't matter who gave it, which I have to say, and you'll see when it comes up on here, I don't hold names of who did it, because it shouldn't be about who delivered it. It's about, is this from God? And what bits of that is from God? And therefore, we kind of move through. It is important, the character and nature of the person delivering it. So if we know that somebody is not in Christ, And not being rude, but what you wouldn't listen to a bar of what they're saying from a spiritual point of view, and that would just be foolish. So we do, it is important to know that somebody's on their journey with God as to whether they can be trusted. But it's not about that particular individual. So at Junction 10, we have got a core prophetic team, we've got a wider prophetic team, and we've got patterns and rhythms of prayer and creating space for the Holy Spirit to speak to us as a church. And you'll notice with prophetic words, I've told you that we don't give them names because we don't get hung up on that. We want you to be listening to what God's saying. Now that I've set the background, I really want to move on to the prophetic words because they are rich and they are powerful, and I was like, oh my days, because I haven't looked at them for ages, because that's the other thing. We don't keep the prophetic words at the front of our mind all the time. We get on with the business of our journey with God from his living word, yeah? And that's about keeping balance, but there are times when we need to say, what's God saying to us? And how are we meant to be moving? So, our prophetic words. There was a prophetic word that was spoken over the Midlands and the Black Country, and this was an inheritance and a promise for this area. And God helps us to recognise patterns. So that's what he normally does with prophetic words. There are kind of patterns so that we can see. So for instance, the Industrial Revolution is part of the history everyone recognises. And there was a huge amount of stuff that went on in the Industrial Revolution in the Midlands, and stuff then went backwards and forwards, up and down the aisles, okay, of Britain, on the canals, on the trains, and it was all from here. We've got a visitor here, a friend of Grace's, and she said, why do you call it the Black Country? That's a bit racist. And I said, no, the reason it's called the Black Country is because of the smog that was over the area. And I thought it was a really good point, because when you live in the Black Country, we're very proud of the Black Country. We don't want to be associated with Birmingham, do we? We want a distinct line. But it is important to declare that it is not as a result of racism. It is because of the Industrial Revolution, where there was a smog over the area because of all of the things that were being done. And it was from that revolution that went up and down the aisles that things, it was brilliant. But I remember, we were talking yesterday, because we went to the Living Museum, and they were making bricks. And the bricks that were made in the Black Country, when Adam and I went to Jamaica, one of the bricks from the Black Country that had got, was it Stourbridge, Jamie? Stourbridge, that had been made, was in Jamaica. Stuff from the Black Country. Okay? So now listen to the word. The word was in 1995. And it was over the Black Country in the Midlands. And the word said, a vision, they had a vision of teams of oxen rising up out of the earth, out of the Midlands in the UK, out of the desolate factory areas of what used to be industrial might, and felt the Lord was saying to him, you will be one of the oxen ploughing the length and breadth of the UK. That is the hope for this area. The word continues to imply revival that will come. And I have to say, I still think there's more to come from it. Now, there are prophecies in the Bible throughout that God has weaved into the Old Testament. And then what happened is the Gospels, those that wrote the Synoptic Gospels, they then took stuff from out of the Old Testament, because they were showing that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament is bringing the Messiah, the promise that he'd given, he has brought that promise to pass. So for Junction 10, when we're looking about our prophetic words, let's have a look at them. Slide 6. 2006 this was. There is a season where you will just have to steer the ship. You just have to keep the ship steered towards a direction because there are stormy waters that are there. But if you can keep the rudder pointing in the direction of the Spirit of God has given you. Now, at that time, we didn't know what troubles were coming, right? But that was a word. We only saw it in part. But when we look back now, we think, yeah, fucking heck, it was hard. New partnerships are on the horizon, both in this area and in the nations. There's an international dynamic coming on this church. I see a remodeling build taking forth in your build to be remodeled, reshaped, in order that it becomes appropriate for the next phase. This thing is going to be a benefit in the community. I declare counselling facilities in that building, debt counselling, counselling in terms of healing taking place in that building. It's going to be a gathering point for many visions, not just the fulfilment of a vision from the past, but from visions that are going to sit within that building. It's going to be a releasing place for many people that are going to flow out of that building and back in. There are going to be many times when there's a going out of more people, not literally, carrying something outside of the building than there is inside the building. We've had remodeling, haven't we? Let's carry on. A remodeling, a shaping, calling forth finances. That I believe that there are finances outside the church structures to flow in. Amazingly, whilst many have been sacrificially giving to the building fund, and I thank you for it, over many years providing us with monies from the new build, which we have been stewarding wisely, we have the CRP funding from the central government. And not only that, but this week, although we haven't finalised the other stuff about the planning, they've come to Kevin and they said, would you like some more money? Yes, thank you. We'd love some more money because we have got a vision to be getting on with stuff. Isn't that incredible? So this is from, sorry, I'm really struggling with the eyesight and the glasses and whatnot, 2006. And we are currently in 2025. Now, if we were obsessed with this all the time, it wouldn't be helpful, which is why we concentrate on the Word of God. But when we look back, we see what God is doing. So, let's carry on. Then we need to look at a call for a significant change in both policy over Warsaw that's been locking things up and diverting funds in wrong directions, but also personnel, calling forth change. I see the city that has been locked up for previous agendas, finance that no longer flows, that there's been patterns over civic government. Some of you are going to find that you've been walking and you're going to be the ones who are now sitting, but you're not sitting idle. You're not sitting idle, but sitting in a place where you're going to release others. And you're going to be fulfilled through that. And God says that there's no one here that's going to lose place or have a sense of uselessness. I know we kick the trend compared to lots of churches by the amount of people that volunteer and do stuff. I know other church leaders and they are a 60-40 split, if that. I can tell you, I know that we've got at least 99 to 100 people that volunteer. That is incredible when it comes down to church. Then it goes on, when we look back, those of you that have been for a while, you can see, oh my goodness, this is quite incredible. So we move to 2007. I want to declare that there are coming here that you have a most unusual work. I really do believe that God wants to take this church to a place where it will not be defined, where some people say, oh, you're this type of church. And then they'll think, no, you're not, that's not you. And they'll put it down to something else. But I believe that God is taking you as a church community out of narrow definitions and putting you into a broad place. Yet there is a spirit of unity that's going to flow through this body. I see the spirit of God coming. There will be clashes, but they will be gentle clashes. I know lots of people that really struggle with how we do church. Okay, I do believe that this will be a multitude of voices that come together and rise up to become one voice. Not a multitude of different voices, but diverse voices that blend together. Sometimes one voice will be a little louder, and sometimes another voice will become louder. I believe that God is going to raise this place up as a significant storehouse, a place where things are going to be developed, dreams are going to be incubated and released, believing that God is putting a diversity in this place of what goes on, a diversity of teams, a diversity of needs. I believe that there is a training anointing coming on Junction 10 that they're going to release, that you're going to be able to train people up and a diversity ways of proclaiming the gospel and reaching out. Stirring up a deep well of the prophetic in this church. It will become a place that holds prayer and prophetic vision without being flaky, but a release of something that has substance and a release of something that is new. They will restore in the coming days some of the roots of the charismatic signs and wonders that will be fully restored, that there will be something here of integrity, not hyping up, but being absolutely earthed. Anybody else want that? Because I do. I remember Junction 10, that in actual fact, I knew of it when I was a young person like you, and I had gone and I heard of healings and transformations, that things were happening, and that's what I knew. And I know we have some of that, but not to the level that we had back then. And I don't know about you, but I long for that. Long for that, that people could come in and in actual fact, yeah, they don't even need Julie or Ben as consultants or Phil. They don't need them, not because we don't value your skills, might I add, but wouldn't it be amazing if somebody could pray for somebody and in actual fact ears were opened, that they could pray for somebody and the cancer was gone? Wouldn't that be amazing? We don't want you to stop, by the way. Carry on with what you're doing. So then, we move on. We move on, and it's obviously there's a significance from Isaiah 43. I didn't know, but obviously Kev's referred to it again this morning, and that was obviously a word from last week. This is how we know that something is, there is some weight to it, because we're testing it. And different people are getting the same things, completely diverse people. People are first on the journey and people further down in the journey. So not to dwell, he calls us not to dwell on former things. See, I'm doing a new thing. I'm making a way in the wilderness. In 2009, almost immediately, I had a picture of a shoot coming up from the ground. It was only 13 millimetres high, and though of some substance, it was not weak. It was quite a sturdy little thing. This aligns with the Isaiah 43, a new thing, a new shoot, and that there's going to be acceleration of growth. Many new people with new ministries, that was 2010. And then in 2011, the now word, we would go on a journey. Well, we have been on a journey. That God would be moving us. Well, he did move us. And we didn't need money because his provision would be sufficient for us. I have to say, I didn't believe that back in 2011. I'd love to say that I did, but I don't know that I did. That we would move into something very different, and he would give specifics for the journey. Our destiny is to the foot of the cross, and we're to keep looking up as we prepare the way for others to follow. In 2011, we had no idea what was going on in 2014, and that we would be nomadic for 11 years, moving from place to place, and that we would have the word of becoming a community with Jesus at the centre. Don't worry, I'm on my way to the end, okay? 2013, we were called to be governors over a wider community, the healing of the land, the Health and Wellbeing Centre, 2013. The forsaken, desolate, hopeless feeling resulting that from the crushing of the industrial might will go away, and the promise of God's restoration in Isaiah 62 would be fulfilled. And then this year, bang up to date, in July 2025, we had somebody who got a prophetic ministry, and we invited them to come and speak to us as elders and as part of our prophetic prayer team. This person was of good character, upstanding in their ministry and faith. And we didn't share any details of the church or the leadership. And this person, and we invited them to come and speak and share with us. So they've got no idea, okay? They could have looked it up on Google and the website, but we've given them nothing. And we need to remember that prophecy helps us to see what God has said, and it causes hope to rise within the body. And then prayer starts to rise. And we were told that we were at a junction in everywhere, that God wants to do a work in us to lose our old thinking, reshaping and remodelling. How many times has that come up? I don't know about you, but part of me wants to say, Lord, I'm always being reshaped and remodelled. It needs somebody else's turn. But it does say in the Bible that that's what he's meant to do, that we are meant to be clay and he is the potter. So that's a fair point. Okay, so that we're meant to be remodeled and reshaped and creating hubs and satellites that he will strengthen the hub. Notice the same things. That we will glean or harvest in the margins that are left behind. Multiple streams and pathways. This relates back to Isaiah 43. They spoke of a contentious activity in the town, where arguments and disagreements in the town start easily, that there's a root in the town, something that we need to pray into. We need to pray into this. That we're to host the presence of God, and that we're to guard that sacred space. That we're tenants, and that we need to remember that it's God's land, and that we're to learn to steward the land. And there is a joy in stewarding. Due to our position in Allenwell and Darlaston, we are now in a position where we're straddling the motorway. We didn't plan that. It was God who brought us here, and there's a whole story behind that, which I'm not going into right now. But we've ended up where we're back in the Allenwell, and we're here in Darlaston, and in between is the M6. That is not by accident, folks. God has orchestrated that, and that puts us in a position of a gateway. Yes, we're at the gateway of the town anyway, but to hold governmental authority spiritually. Amen. God is putting us in a governmental position spiritually. That means we are going to have to take on some spiritual battles. It doesn't mean that he's just putting us there for it to be nice. It means that we need some battle axes in prayer that are going to stand there. And it could be in a quiet room somewhere. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be in armour on the Wolverhampton Road. But you are going to be battling in prayer. We are called to battle in prayer because we're doing it on behalf of the whole of Warsaw. It's also said that we're going to have leadership structures that will be changing with a multi-generational leadership, three generations of leadership. And God is giving us car parks and parking control access. Notice, still the same themes echoed from the past, indicating that we aren't yet completed or finished, that are consistent with what he said to us. Our focus for the ministries within the building are towards health and well-being, which, not being funny, but at times I'd forgotten about. When I've read this, I was like, oh my days. I'd love to say that we'd really concentrated on it, we'd gone from that, wouldn't you, Kev? But I have to say, we haven't. So that just shows the way that God steers us. Okay? Our 11 nomadic years have taught us to be good tenants. I don't mean to be horrible, but we were badly behaved in that building. I'm saying it as me. I know some of you haven't been there then, but we were not good. We didn't behave well in that building. We were flippant. We just took it for granted. And we didn't look after it. So we've learned how to be good tenants. We've learned processes that enable us to host others. We recognise the enormity of what God has given us, and we're grateful for the journey. And many are required to step up, fulfil their calling in Jesus. Each of you are a picture, a person, and we make up a mosaic that is an even bigger picture, a united picture. Junction 10, this morning, I hope you can see what God has said and that hope is rising in your soul. Because he's moved on from talking about provision to talking about car parks. That's because the money's done. I'm not saying stop giving, because Kevin kicked me in the hand, of course I want to go past otherwise. But keep giving, but he's dealt with the money. He's on to car parks. So if he's on to car parks, that stuff done. Now I know there is some stuff we haven't actually got just yet. And it's still being finalised, but he's already given us more money. And our communities are in the lowest 10% of the country. That means they are the most deprived. And God has said that he's going to give us, we are going to glean in the marginalised and in the bits where nobody else would glean. That's God's promise to us. So that means all of those people that are struggling in life, finances, relationships, stuff that has been done to them in horrible ways, God is going to give us those people. And he's going to restore them, and he's going to transform them, and it will be all for his glory. Not because of any one of us, but because he is the king on the throne. And he is worthy. I'm finished. Kev's going to lead us. And I think it's time to give thanks, don't you?